All right. Well, I'm just going to follow up a little bit on what Jeff said. And I will tell you this, what I'm going to do, I'm going to tell you a couple stories or true stories. I'm hesitant to, because it sounds like I'm probably going to sound like I'm blowing my own horn. Believe me, I'm not. Because I resist at every temptation to do what the Lord tells me. I mean, I'm just tempted to, that's some other day. Yeah, I'll put that off. That goes on the back burner. And a couple things. Me mostly in the car. That's mostly where I hear. When I learn to shut talk radio off, then I can hear somebody else. Well, there's no dents on the front of my vehicle, but there are some in the back. People put trees where they weren't supposed to be. Electric poles. I got another truck. Didn't have it 3 days, so I backed into a tree. And I got a backup camera, but I don't trust it. I use my wife's system of backing up. That's hit something, go out and see what it was. Okay, all right, she's not here. I do want to share a couple things the Lord told me to do. And like I said, I am really hesitant to say this, but it's for His honor and glory. I could tell you a lot of things. I won't. I'll try to keep this reasonably short. These are just two of many things that happened to me because I actually did give in to what He was telling me. And I may have shared this one time before. I'm not sure, but I think it'll bear repeating, especially since it blends in so well with what you said. I was going by an old age home one time in Hastings, and there was these people sitting out front, you know, and they looked like they were waiting on the Lord, if you know what I mean. And I drove by there, and I thought, boy, that's a shame. Something about those people are going to die and go to hell. Somebody will stop and talk to them. I goes on by, went on down the road. Never thought about it. And then a couple of days later, I go by there probably 3 or 4 times a year. But I went by there about 3 or 4 days later. And there these people were sitting out there. And poor people. I wonder if they know the Lord, you know, this, that, and the other thing. Somebody ought to stop and talk to them. They keep on going. I got about a mile or two down the road. And, okay, now here we go. The Lord said, why don't you turn around and go back and talk to those people? Are you kidding me? I might catch something off. Or, you know, I mean, I'm starting to throw up all this stuff. Well, I'm not qualified. To somebody else, they probably have a chaplain there. You know, all this stuff. That don't matter. So, I don't want to do this. How do you do it? You don't just get out and go into an old age home and say, well, I'm here to tell you about the Lord, right? I mean, how do you start? What do you do? Okay. I turned around. I went back. Went in, knocked on the door where you have to have this pass, all the stuff, get in, talk to the lady. I said, this is the administrator, or the manager, whoever. Here. Yeah, name's Aaron. I said, can I talk to him? So he came out, nice guy. Got to talking to him. Here he knows my uncle real well. I told him who I was. He said, he didn't know me, but he knew my uncle. And I told him do you ever have any need for somebody to come here and share, the Bible or, you know, whatever with these folks, pray with them, whatever? Oh, yeah. But we don't need anybody right now because we have all these different groups. I'm, oh, thank you. I got out of it. Yes, sir. I did my part. Well, and then I'm getting ready to leave. He comes over and hey, Bill, wait. It looks like there may be an opening on Wednesday nights. Can this be happening? So anyway, to make a long story short, we ended up going over there. We didn't go over every Wednesday night or whatnot, but we went quite a few times, and I've been there since. But, you know, and it's kind of depressing to go into an old age home because it just is. And if you've not been there, if you go there, I would encourage you to go there. You could do just like I say, what I did, it wasn't rocket science. Those people really do need, they like to talk to someone, they're lonesome, so on and so forth. But, you know, I didn't want to do that. I really did not want to do that. But I did it, so, and I'm glad I did it. And I go over periodically. Chris and I was over there just about a month ago. A friend of mine that I'd known, he passed away there, but I prayed with another guy. There's plenty of people there to pray for. And they're happy to have you do it. So that's one thing that happened because I listened. And then another one, a man, and this is how you where we live, there's two churches. Okay, there's what we used to call the Red Brick Church. And then there was where I went. And there was like, they don't do what we do. So this man, he was the oldest man in Beaver Valley, I was told. He was 94, 95. My aunt told me, maybe like on Wednesday, do you hear John Gates? I'm sure he wouldn't mind if I mention his name, but it's too late. Anyway, but he's not doing very good. I said, somebody said that. Well, he goes to the Red Brick Church. And I said, well, I'll pray for him. Anyway, that was, I think, on Tuesday or Wednesday. Then I stopped there to see her on Saturday, and she said, they say that John Gates is near death. Everything up there is a big deal. You know, it's a big deal. And I said, well, I mean, you told me the other day he wasn't doing too well. So we came down here to church, and we went home. I took all my shoes, or, you know, I got undressed, you know, put on my everyday clothes, sitting there looking at the paper, and said, you got to get out and talk, or get out, pray, talk, whatever, with John Gates. He goes to the Red Brick Church. That's what they have a preacher for. Yeah, but you ought to go. Why? They don't believe what we believe. But you ought to go. I don't want to go. I just got in my old clothes. I took off my good clothes. Well, you can put them back on, or you can go where you are. I'm reading the sports. I did not want to go down there because the thing was, well, then I remember when we came by there, where we drive right by their house, and on the way home from church, and I noticed there was no cars there. I said, there's no cars there. Maybe he died. I'll go down. So I got my other clothes on. I went down. I got down there. There were seven cars there. Because I thought, I'm going to use it. Oh, well, I tried. You know. So I get down there. Seven cars there. Oh, my God. I don't want to do this. And I don't know these people. I hardly know them. I know, you know what I mean. They live in Beaver Valley, but they weren't friends of mine. I know his name, his wife's name, Mary. And they go to the Red Brick Church. I keep saying. Anyway, okay, so I got my Bible, well, I went down and I pulled it. There was no place to park. I had to park on the other side of the road. And I better not go in there dragging this big monstrous Bible, because every time I do something like this, Bible keeps getting bigger when I look at it. It gets thicker and bigger. I better just go in and tell them, So I go up and knocked on the door. Lady came to the door. I did know the lady. And, she says, how you doing? I said, I'm doing good. She said, listen, we've been expecting you. How about that? Okay, I'll be right back. I went and got the Bible. I came in and I said, how's he doing? She said, not very good. He's just about goner. I said, well, I'm no relative. I'm nothing. I mean, I'm a distant neighbor. And he said, no, come on in. These people were just leaving and they're kind of here saying their last. He don't know anybody. Okay. So it cleared out a little bit and I went in. And so I went in, walk up. He's in the hospital bed there and it just skin and bone. And And I walked up to him and I said, "Hello, John. This is," I said, "Do you know who I am?" Or something like that. And he said, "Yeah, you're Bill Barnhart." They're like, he hasn't known anybody for the last 8 or 10 hours, even his wife. And I don't know what that means, but it just was kind of a little bit of a confirmation to me. But anyway, I said, "The Lord told me to come down and pray with you and maybe read a, you know, something." And so I forget what it was, but his wife, I asked, I said, "What's this, what chapter?" A lot of people have a favorite, you know, something in the Bible. I said, "Would it be all right if I read it to you?" "Oh, yeah." And then I was starting to get bold. And then I just flat out asked him. I did that, and I just flat out asked him. I said, "John, are you saved? If you die, are you going to heaven?" "Oh, yeah." "So you give your life to Jesus, right?" "Yep." 1928. He told me the day. That was pretty comforting. I don't know if I could tell you what day and what year for sure. It was a work in progress with me, but he knew. It was 1928. I said, "Oh, that's great. You're making this easy." So I prayed with them, and they all thanked me for, you know, his wife and I know some other relatives there. And I'm leaving, and they said, "I'll be back again sometime." And they said, "Well, how about tomorrow night?" I said, "Well, I didn't think you were going to be there tomorrow night, to be honest with you." But he was. I did go back the next night. But see how that all worked? And all I did everything I could do to get out of doing that. And he just wouldn't let me. So, I don't say this to blow my own horn, but sometimes you just have to do things that you don't. I mean, there's a lot of times you don't want to do things at work and so on and so forth, but this is more important. And if the Lord is telling you to do it, you just go ahead and do it, and he'll make it work. He'll make it work. And it blessed me as much as, you know, these other people. And so, anyway, with all that said, we had a thing. There's a guy at Glendale year-round. His wife is, just the other day, he stopped and told Chris that his wife was in the hospital. She has heart problem. I don't know him that way. I mean, I know him as far as, but not spiritually. I don't know where he's at. I know if I've ever talked a little bit about the Lord and so on and so forth, he sort of backs up. They go to church. But so I can't say a whole lot, but I know he has never been very open with his relationship with the Lord, whatever relationship he had. Well, he told Chris that his wife was in the hospital, and then I think that was on Monday, I believe. Monday or Tuesday, whatever. And I thought, well, they go to that church in Patton. I'm always trying to push it off on some other preacher. Anyway, so that night we ate supper. It's Tuesday night, and hearing this, and I ought to go over there. And I called up to their house. There's nobody home. So I called Dave's cell phone. He's in the hospital with his wife. I said, "Is there anybody with you?" "No, our one daughter's in Seattle, and the other one's I don't know where, or something else." "Well, maybe I'll come over." So then I said, "If not, I'll see you tomorrow." And I thought, well, you know, it's Tuesday night. We're in Bible study. Now, I can't be missing Bible study to go to the hospital and read and pray with somebody that I don't even know if they'll receive it. Can I? No, I'm not going. Then I thought it was later than it was. So anyway, I said, well, I could even go if I got moving and get back here, depending on how long I'm there. So I said, okay, I'll go. Anyway, so I went. But anyway, here's what I shared with them, and this certainly is not going to be no new scriptures to any of you, but I'm just going to run through this quickly, and it's Psalms 91. "He that dwelleth in the secret place," he, that's you and I, "of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust." I'm not going to read the whole thing, I'm just going to go through some of this. "Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eye shalt thou behold, and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, my habitation. And there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, or us, to keep us in all our ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder and the young lion, and the dragon shall thou trample under feet. Now, here's the good part. Because he hath set his love upon us, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him or us on high, because we have known his name. We shall call upon him, and he will answer us. And he will, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And with long life will I satisfy him, that's us, and show him my salvation. In Romans, there's one verse, and I'm going to turn here so I don't misquote it. I always mess up the back part of this. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, and to them who are called according to his purpose. So, at times when we're going through things and so on and so forth, that's my point of this with this lady, was that that he still loves us. And it may be, to the Christians, it's something where we're learning a lesson, maybe, that we need to learn. It's a trial, it's a temptation, whatever it may be. But to the world, it's nothing to them. It's a speed bump. I hit a rough patch. I'm having a little bad luck. Not for us. It's for a reason. And the reason is to make us stronger, to increase our faith, and to come to know Jesus better and more. In Philippians 4. Therefore, my brethren, this is what we have to do when we're in these rough patches, these trials. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast. This is kind of hard to do, but this works. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. We can rejoice, we can praise ourselves out of problems. I've done it. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving him, thanking him for what he has done, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That peace of God is a little hard to describe to the world because they don't know him. So they have to deal with the circumstances themselves in their own natural, physical, their emotions, and so on and so forth. But we have the peace, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. That's hard to understand. People have said, how can you be taking this well? We've gone through some pretty tough things at the year round lately. We have cast our cares on the Lord. We've taken them there and we've cast them on him, because we were not able to stand on our own. It was crushing us. So we had to give it to him. And that could be with anything, but that's one thing that really has been hard on us the last couple of years. But anyway, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, and a lot of whatsoever's in here, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things.
So
we've had a lot of good things have happened in the past. We're here. We're above the ground. I should be dead about 4 or 5 times at least. I was just far away. So think on those things. Past blessings. All the things that he's done for us. Don't dwell on the negative. And those things which you have both learned and received and heard, we've learned a lot, we received a lot, believe and receive, and heard and seen. And the God of peace, back to peace, shall be with you. And then, and I'm just going to skip down to 13, and this is really good stuff here. And then you can really say this and mean it. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So, and that's true. We may think we can't, and we can't do it in our own or on our own, but we can do it through Him.